As we look at God's word, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for your goodness and, Lord, your kindness. Lord, we thank you that you've given your word, Lord, to reveal who you are to us, Lord, so we can know you better, Lord, love you more. Lord, in this Christmas season, Lord, help us to continue to keep our focus, Lord, on Jesus. Lord, through all the busyness and some of the distractions, Lord, we know that's coming our way, that's, Lord, part of it. But Lord, help us to keep our focus on you, Lord, to continue to be in awe that you came to this earth, lived among us, died and rose again. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you are new with us, we are in an Advent sermon series in the Gospel of Luke, and so I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles or have your phone, to turn to the Gospel of Luke that is found in the New Testament, and turn to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1. Now, as you're finding that, I got a question for you. When it comes to Christmas songs, when do you begin to listen to them? All right, when do you begin to listen to them? Do you have any type of guideline? I know some of you, it's like, hey, I can't listen until after Thanksgiving. Or maybe it's December 1st. And so you have these different kind of guidelines that you've created. There's a guy I know, he said he began to listen to Christmas music the day after Halloween. All right, not really sure what he's going through, but must not be good. That's a long time to listen to some Christmas music. And so in our family, we put up the tree, we began to do all that and listen to music. As we've been driving to school, we've been listening to different songs. And so I'm sure many of you are the same. Now, here's one of the amazing things when it comes to Christmas music is how many songs there actually are. And so I asked, I was curious about this. I wanted to know a number, all right? I knew there's a lot, but I wanted to know a number. So I asked my good friend, ChatGPT, and we've become very close, all right? It's my one friend out there. And so I posed that question, how many Christmas songs are there? And the response, over 50,000 Christmas songs. And you're saying, yeah. And I hear the same eight over and over again, all right? That's kind of how it goes. Now, this time of year, when we think of Christmas, you know, we got the tree, we got the presents, all those things, but very closely connected with the Christmas singing is that of music and songs. And one of the common themes, whether it's a secular song, you know, Jingle Bells or whatever, or Oh Holy Night, one of the common themes is that of joy. And today, as we continue in this series in the Gospel of Luke, we're going to be looking at Mary's visit to her cousin Elizabeth and the joy that we find in that encounter. And then Mary, filled with the Spirit, she composes this song, and all throughout it we find this joy that Mary has. Now, I find this really fascinating with all the joy that Mary expresses, as yes, she's received a great announcement that she will give birth to the Son of God, but with that there is all sorts of uncertainty and questions and anxiety. But yet in the midst of that, she expresses joy. And so we can learn from her example, because I imagine many of us in this room today, there's uncertainty. There's some questions that you have. There's some anxiety that you have. And it may be connected to your family. It may be connected to your career. But all of us in our journey of following Jesus will have times of anxiety and questions and uncertainty. And one of the things that the Lord wants for us is to maintain our joy. Now, this doesn't mean that we walk around with some silly smile on our face, but there is a deep-seated commitment and contentment and joy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because often what we find is that uncertainty can rob us of joy. It pulls us away from the joy that we are to have in the Lord God. And so this morning, as we look at Mary, we're going to look at three lessons that she teaches us. And so if you have Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 39 to 56. So Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39, we read this. At that time, Mary, and this is after just receiving the news from the angel Gabriel. So at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her." And Mary said, and this is Mary's song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." And Mary, we're told, stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So, three lessons that we can learn from Mary to find joy in the midst of uncertainty. And the first is this: we find joy in fellowship, that is, relationships with other followers of Jesus. After Mary receives the news from the angel Gabriel, Luke tells us that Mary got ready and quickly went to her cousin Elizabeth's home. And as Mary enters the home, you can just sense the excitement. Whereas Mary enters this home, her cousin Elizabeth blesses her and says, "What is this that you come to visit me?" We find Mary blessing her cousin Elizabeth because she would be the one to give birth to John the Baptist. And so there's this great excitement that they are sharing with each other. But let us also not miss the uncertainty that they're both facing. Elizabeth had longed for a child, and now she's received this wonderful news. Now she is pregnant, but she's advanced in years, and you wonder about the rumors that would begin to circulate. We're told when she becomes pregnant that she hid herself for 5 months. It's kind of an interesting note that Luke gives us. And you wonder why, and maybe it's because of the uncertainty and the talk that was spreading around the town. For Mary herself, she was this young teenage girl. She was engaged to be married, and now she received this news that she will be, she's a virgin, she's going to become pregnant. And so, yes, there was great excitement, but there was great uncertainty. There were all sorts of questions. And what I find just amazing in Mary's response is she doesn't hear from the angel Gabriel and then just kind of go off on her own, but she seeks out comfort through someone else. She seeks out fellowship and a relationship with her cousin Elizabeth, and they share concerns with each other. Did you notice they spend 3 months together? So this wasn't a quick visit. For 3 months, they shared an excitement. They shared their feelings. They shared their concerns, their anxieties. With all that uncertainty, they support each other. And that relationship that these two have with each other and the joy that they bring each other is the joy that we are to have with other followers of Jesus. See, when you and I place our faith in Jesus, that is our trust in Jesus. Often around here, we talk about it crossing that line of faith, where you move from an unbeliever to now a believer. Not only are your sins forgiven, as wonderful as that is, but you are now God's child, and you are secure in that. And because you are God's child, you are in God's family. And all of those that put their trust in Jesus, you are part of that family. It's just an amazing reality. And as part of God's family, there is a responsibility, but also a great privilege to live out these one another's that we find throughout the New Testament. One of the common themes that you find in the New Testament letters as they're writing to these churches is this language of the one another's, of love one another, share in the burdens of one another, encourage one another, support one another, share in the blessings of one another. We find this over and over again. But you know, one of the obstacles that we face in our faith and our culture It's because we elevate the individual. Now, there's a lot of good in this, but it can also be an obstacle to our faith. And one of the things that can happen is we can over-individualize our faith. We kind of view our spiritual life in this compartment where it's just us and God, and that's the only way that we treat it. And so we come to church and we kind of slip in and out. And so we pray by ourselves. We read the Bible by ourselves. We watch sermons on YouTube by ourselves. And all of those are good practices to have. And I don't say this to lay some burden on you, but you're missing out. You're missing out on the blessing and the joy that we find with each other. See, we're not to live our Christian life in just kind of alone and off to the side. That we're to get in relationship with each other. Now, this brings challenges, right? I mean, any family you're in, there's challenges. And there will be challenges when you seek to engage in the life of this church. But there's also great joy. And I just love, and I hear stories week after week of how you are pouring into the lives of others. And it may be a text message. It may be a meal. It may be going to the hospital to visit someone. But there are beautiful things happening in the life of our church. And so again, if you're not quite engaged, maybe you're checking things out, man, keep doing that. And again, I don't say this to lay some burden on you, but you are missing out on what the Lord has for you. That he wants you to have joy in relationship with other followers of Christ, to live out those one another's. And so for you, it may be that you need to take a next step of building some relationships. And it may be, you know, something more formal that our church offers, whether it's Sunday school or small groups or men's and women's ministry or grief share, whatever it may be. But it also may be something more informal. You know, one of the things when you guys come in here, and this is kind of an experience for wherever you go, but you know, if you sit in that spot, especially by the second time, that's your spot, right? All right, okay, so I look out here every Sunday and I know so-and-so is gonna be here and somebody's here and somebody's here. And when you guys move around, it messes me up, all right? So don't move, all right? But one of the beautiful things that I've heard a lot and I've seen this play out, and again, I encourage you in, is those that you are sitting next to, and work up a little courage to introduce yourself to them. And what you'll see is the Lord will build that. And you'll begin to talk about and share some things in your life. And you can pray for each other. And so every Sunday I see that. And if you're not engaged in that yet, I would encourage you to do that today. Another kind of point on this is the lobby that we have. You know, we're about year 5 into this building here pretty soon. And one of the common questions I get over and over is this: did you mean to build the lobby so big? It seems kind of big. And it's like, no, we did that on purpose. You know, if you were at our old church, it was very tight in there. It was hard to kind of talk and hang out. And so we wanted to create a big space that you could just linger before and after the services. And so today, I know it's Christmas, and if you got to get out of here, Christmas season, you know, nobody's going to be looking at you, right? Hey, where are you running off too quick? But again, I would encourage you to just linger out there. Introduce yourself to some folks. And what is so amazing how the Lord works, as you develop these relationships, there's these connection points that the Lord uses. And so you introduce yourself to someone and you share some of your struggles, and then you realize they've gone through something similar. See, Mary and Elizabeth, they were in this very unique spot. I mean, Elizabeth's having John the Baptist, right? This forerunner of the Messiah. Mary's having the Messiah herself. Unique ladies, unique situations, and they were there to support each other. And the Lord, as we develop those relationships, maybe it's the loss of a loved one, maybe it's some career thing that you went through. As you develop those relationships, the Lord will use it to encourage one another, and you will find joy in those relationships. As we continue, the second lesson we learned from Mary is that we find joy by magnifying God. Joy by magnifying God. In verses 46 and 47, Mary begins her song by praising the Lord with this. She says, "My soul glorifies," or "my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary, in the midst of this very uncertain time, praises and lifts high the name of God. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Now, this is not Mary talking about two different things. This is what is called Hebrew parallelism. And we find this throughout the Old Testament, and in particular the book of Psalms, which Mary is drawing from. And so this is a way of saying the same thing in two different ways. And for example, in Psalm 19, we find this. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." The same thing, just saying it two different ways. Now, I say that so that we realize that Mary, in the core of who she is, in the depth of who she is magnifying and finding joy in God. She is maximizing God to find joy. But many times we do the opposite. Many times we think to find joy and happiness, we need to minimize God. We need to kind of compartmentalize the Lord. And then we tend to do this with anybody that has any type of authority over us, whether it's parent to teenager, boss to employee, right? Player to coach. I remember when I was a teenager, you know, how oppressive my parents seemed to be. You know, what do you mean my curfew's 12 a.m.? You know, why are you trying to take all my joy and happiness? One of my children, and they'll remain nameless, at least at this point, they said to me a few weeks ago, "Dad, you just don't know how to have any fun." Oh, the pain of that, the pain of that. I couldn't believe it. And do you know why this child of mine mentioned that? Because I brought up the necessity of sleep, all right? How dare Dad do that? Robbed him of his joy, right? Wanted to stay up late. And to be honest, we do this with the Lord. We think the Lord is kind of a bit of a killjoy, right? He just wants us to be holy, just do the right thing. Doesn't really care about our happiness and our joy. Maybe you've heard this saying before, that God is more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. Anybody heard that? You know, you're going through a trial, you're going through something difficult, and it's like somebody grabs you by the collar and says, you know, the Lord's more concerned about your holiness than your happiness, and it's supposed to encourage you, and it's like they slap you on the backside, you know, get back in the game type of thing. But you know, the Lord is concerned about our holiness, but he's deeply concerned about our joy and our happiness. You go through the Psalms, and some of them are heavy, and they're dealing with some hard things, but yet there's joy. That they will express honestly before the Lord the hurt that they have, but then they will end that psalm by praising God. See, God, yes, he wants you to be holy, but it's not separate from your joy. To be truly holy, that is unique and set apart, looking more like Jesus, you need to have joy. And so he is deeply concerned about that. And so again, alluding to the Psalms, we find in Psalm 16:11, it says of the Lord, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy." Not just a little bit of joy, but there is fullness of joy. Psalm 21:6, "You make him glad." You make him happy with the joy of what? Your presence. See, God cares about your joy. And the way that you will be joyful is to go to the Lord, is to be in his presence. And that's here as we're gathered on Sunday morning. That may be on your way to work, that you find some Christian music that you can just praise God. And as people are passing you, they may think you're crazy, but you're singing at the top of your lungs to our Lord God, that you are magnifying who he is, that you are reflecting on the great mercy that he has shown you. And this is what Mary is doing, that in this uncertain circumstance, with all this pressure and questions that she has, she lifts high the name of the Lord. She pursues him and she praises him, and she finds joy in that uncertainty. The third lesson we find from Mary is this, that there is joy in God's faithfulness. That we are to find joy in the faithfulness that God has shown us in our own individual life. And we are to find joy as we look at the storyline of Scripture and how God has remained faithful. Mary begins her song by praising the greatness of the Lord. And then she quickly turns to how God has worked in her life. In verses 48 and 49, she says this of the Lord, that he has been mindful of the humble state, or we might say the lowly state of his servant. And then she says in verse 49, how God has done great things for her. very personal. Now, why does Mary mention her lowly condition? It's because she was in a very lowly condition. She was young, a teenager, no more than 14 to 16 years of age. In the eyes of the world, she was nothing. Poor, uneducated, not influential, not mighty, very overlooked. She came from a nowhere place. But yet the Lord showed favor on her. The Lord placed his favor on her. But Mary doesn't stay there. She moves beyond her own individual circumstances. Then she goes to the storyline of the Bible, how God has remained faithful through generations. She says in verse 54 that he, that is God, has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary is reflecting on promises that God gave 2,000 years before she lived, 4,000 years for us, where God went to this man, Abraham, and said, through you, I'm going to bless all the nations, all the peoples of the world. And she knew that promise. She took hold of that promise. And through all the ups and downs of Abraham's family and the nation of Israel, all the obedience and the disobedience, the exile, where it looked like God's promises would not be kept, he remained faithful. And now with this announcement that she will give birth to Christ, it's coming true. God is answering those promises. And Mary draws comfort and joy, not only in how God has worked in her life, but through the generations before her, and this brings her joy. And we're to do the same. We're to find joy in the same way, that you are to reflect on your condition before Christ, that you are to reflect on how the Lord continues to remain faithful to you. And maybe for you, you feel very much how Mary did, overlooked. By the world's standards, you are in a humble status. But regardless of that, for each of us spiritually, we are low before the Lord, but yet he lifts us up. The language the Bible uses to reveal our lowly position before God is that we are sinful, and that in this condition, the Bible speaks of it in this very severe language, that we are lost, that we are blind, that we are dead in our sins and transgressions. But through the mercy of God and the work of Jesus Christ, we who are blind are given sight. We who are lost have been found, and we who were dead in our sins and our transgressions, we had no desire for God, we've been made alive in Jesus Christ. If you trust in Jesus, you put your faith, your reliance in him, you are part of God's family. You've been found, you've been forgiven, you've been made alive. You did not desire the Lord, but now you desire God. And you will be lifted up. That one day you will die, but those found in Jesus Christ will be lifted up, and you will be with Christ Jesus forever. And so we were in a low condition. We had a low status before the Lord, but he's been merciful to us. And I don't bring this up to heap guilt and shame on you. But my experience has been those that reflect on the depth of their sin and where they were at before Jesus, they're the ones that have the most joy and praise God the loudest, because they know what they were like. They know the sin in their life, and they praise God for the amazing mercy and grace that he's shown them. And we're to reflect on that. We're to find joy in that. But just as Mary not only reflected on her own condition, but looked at the grander scope of God's work, we're to do the same. That we look at that promise that God gave Abraham 4,000 years before we live today, and God's been faithful. How he was faithful in the time of Mary. How Jesus lived among us, went to the cross, died, and rose, just as prophecy would say. God fulfilled his word. And because God was faithful then, because God's been faithful in our own life, it gives us joy and it gives us hope and it gives us confidence that he will continue to remain faithful. And so right now you may feel very, very uncertain with some of the things coming your way. There may be anxiety and questions that you know are coming as we come to this new year. But you are to remember God's faithfulness, that he has not left his people, that he has not left you. And yes, the struggle can be hard at times, but you praise the Lord for who he is and how faithful he's been. And you find joy, true happiness in that. And so as we are in this Christmas season, as we begin this new year in a few weeks, my encouragement to you is to find joy with other followers of Jesus, to reflect on the goodness that God has shown you, and to lift high his name, to not minimize the Lord, but to maximize the Lord in your day to day. Praise his name, and you will find that deep-seated contentment and joy in your life. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? One of the things that's been pressing on me, and we've done this the last few weeks, is just the busyness of the season, and I feel it. You know, it seems like every day there's some activity with kids, or maybe it's grandkids for you. School activities, our students are very busy. Everybody's rushing to get to the last day of school, to get the presents and all the rest. So it's kind of crazy out there. But I want this to be a time where we can just take a breath, pause, to reflect on God's goodness. So I just want to mention a few things to help. Reflect and remember on all that God has done for you. It may be for you beneficial to reflect on some past sins, not to drum up the guilt and shame. No, for those in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. It's been forgiven. It's been removed. But in a healthy way, I would say, remember your sins so you can praise God for his grace, his mercy. And that praising of his grace is not just before we're believers. We all stumble and fail, even as followers of his. Thank him for his steadfast love in your life. For some of us, it may be trying to find our joy outside of God. This can often happen when things are tough. Maybe there's some struggles with our spouse or with parents, with some friends at school. We think we need to minimize God to find real happiness. But true joy and happiness is found in our Lord who created you for him. We find our true joy in him. Maybe for you, it's taking a step to introduce yourself or go to a group or develop some relationships by the Spirit's working. I know it can be challenging and hard, nerve-wracking, but the Lord will bless that. And if you've never cross that line of faith of putting your trust in Jesus, would you do so today? To trust in Christ, to find true satisfaction and joy in him. Maybe for you, it's taking that next step of being baptized. You're a follower of Jesus, but you need to take that next step so people can see and know that you're a follower of his. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the joy that is found in you. Lord, help us to believe that. Lord, help us to believe that. Lord, we thank you for the lessons that we can learn from Mary. Lord, help us to apply that to our life. Lord, help us to find our joy in you. Lord Jesus, we lift you up. We thank you. We praise you. We ask all this in your name, Lord. Amen.